This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by SiteGround. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans, and my special guest is none other than the Peckle Princess, Ms. Sarah Goldman. Say hi to everybody, Sarah.
Hi, everybody, to Sarah. Wait, no.
That joke's just so old.
It really is.
Anyhow.
I got it wrong, too.
I want to give a special shout out to SiteGround, our sponsor. We'll talk a little bit more about them later on the show. I can tell right now that this is going to be one of those rare episodes that's nothing more than a giggle fest. We're just going to sit here and laugh. So
we've known each other too long, Cal.
And that's the problem I have with interviewing old friends. I mean, I interviewed Keith, and we just sat there and laughed at private inside jokes.
Serious face.
No.
So, let us speak.
Nobody wants to see serious Sarah.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Okay. You are the release manager for PHP 7.2, you and Remy Collette.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, talk to us a little bit about what's new and what's shiny in PHP 7.2.
Well, I'd really like to be able to tell you that something is like, oh my God, this is the killer feature. Like, oh, strict types that we had in 7.0, and then we have these nullables and iterables and stuff in 7.1. Really, 7.2 is a lot of cleaning things up and some bug fixes. It's not about big breaking changes. It's about making the PHP development experience slightly less best surprise. and just like, you know, shoring up the language. We're in that sort of mid to early spot in the 7 branch where we're sort of retaking stock of ourselves. We'll probably see some more big features in 7.3. And there are some big things in 7.2, like certainly the addition of Exodium, some good cryptography stuff coming in when that gets landed, maybe before the fork. You know who I'm talking to?
Well, that's got to be Scott.
That has got to be Scott, yes. We'll get that landed. We'll get all the last bits of changes. He had to do actually quite a lot of work to make that fit into 7.2 because the pickle version, of course, has got namespaces. So you've got sodium slash, all the little function things. And because we don't really have a good precedent for namespaces in core, the group decided that, okay, we want standard namespace standard prefix functions in the global namespace, which meant a whole bunch of changes to the library, plus some non-user facing changes that had to be made before it got merged. So there's a reason that it's taking so long, but we definitely want to get that in before the fork, which is happening on July 20th. So all those RFCs that have been put out there, like, they really should be merged before then. Hint, hint. I've got my release manager face on, and I'm really getting on like people's backsides about that. But we will be able to merge things after the fork. It just becomes more complicated, and ideally we want the beta to be as close to what's actually going to reach users as possible. So we just had released Alpha 1 released Thursday. Sorry, I rolled it on Tuesday, but it was officially released on Thursday. And so we're already getting some test feedback from that, and that's great. And the more people who can test and give me feedback would be even better. So we're not seeing any big surprises. There are a few things. There's at least one bug up that I'm just like, oh, I'm surprised that didn't get caught sooner. But we're dealing with those, and we should have a pretty stable beta by the time that comes out, I think.
Very cool. Now, I've been through a couple of release cycles for PHP. I've watched them. I don't participate, but I've watched them. About how many alphas and about how many betas can we expect?
So we actually have an entire wiki set up with the whole timeline.
You sent me that. I did not read it, but you did send it to me.
You used the link in your own tweets. So.
Oh, yeah. I retweeted, but I didn't read it.
wikiphpnet/todo/7.2 It's on. Look at Cal's tweets or my tweets.
I'll throw a link in the show notes.
Show notes, even. So the timetable is we're going to have 3 alphas. All the releases are going to be about 2 weeks apart to give time to get a little bit of testing and then show the results of fixing those tests in the next release. So Alpha 2 is going to come out in 12 days. It'll get rolled in 10. Then we'll have Alpha 3. And then 2 weeks after that, on July 20th, that's going to be Beta 1, and that's going to be the actual fork. So that's when Git is going to say, okay, master is now 7.3 dev, and we've got our own PHP 7.2 branch, okay. Which you also discovered when you were trying to write your
yes, I did.
Your testing tool.
We'll talk about that faux pas in a little bit.
And then if I recall correctly, we have 3 betas, and everything that beyond that is going to be considered an RC. And what's really distinctive between beta and RC is that in beta, yeah, you can still get those last-minute RFCs actually merged in, even though we've got a new branch, you're going to have to merge it back. At RC, it's going to be much more like, nah. We need to just dial this down, and we need to get it good and perfect, and your feature's just going to have to wait another year.
It's not exactly frozen, but it's a good slushy.
It's a slushy during beta. It is it's a sweaty ice cube in RC.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it is, but it's what I'm going for.
It's a colorful analogy.
Sweating ice cube.
Yeah. Anyhow, talk to us a little bit. Exactly what does a release manager do?
That's a good question. I'm learning that as I go, because this is my first time doing a release management for PHP.
Really? In all the years you've been core?
Well, and this was the response, because Florian, my coworker at the time, sort of suggested to me, hey, you should throw your hat in for this. I'm like, you know, actually, I have been meaning to do this, and I've just never really gotten around to it. So that's what I said, and literally, Remy and I were the only two people who put up our hands, so it was a really hard vote. But what do we do? First and foremost, we're on bug triage. So when bugs come in, we need to make sure that the right people see them so they can get fixed, or either fix them ourselves if possible. And the other main thing we do is actually just the mechanics of bundling up the release.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit, because you've got a cool process.
I've got a process which I inherited and adapted from Davey, but we can go into the Docker details later. But that involves for the most part, it's just a big tarball, but there's a lot of testing that goes into that, making sure it at least reliably works on a predictable platform, not Debian, the other one. Yeah, Debian, yeah.
Debian.
Sorry, Debian and Ubuntu, they're like sharing rooms in my head. And signing them because we use actual GPG sync.
And you posted your keys not too long ago, and you even joined, Keybase.
Yeah. Actually, I've been on Keybase for a while. I joined it for a work project, and I'm not even working for that company anymore, so I just killed that key and I put my PHP key in its place. It's got verifications on all the different social media, so it's something you can trust. And of course, php.net also has everybody's PHP keys, yeah, who have been released masters as well, so you can
check that. Let's take a little side trip.
Sure.
You've been in core as long as I've been in the community. You've been in core and
about 15 years, yeah.
And I've been in the community 12, I think, now. Active in the community.
That's about right.
Long about 2007, 2008, mm-hmm. I like to tell people, since we've lost our PG rating anyhow, I like to tell people that the core kind of lost its shit. You know, it became very much disorganized. This was right around the time that PHP 6 was decided that this is not going to work. And core lost its way is a better way of putting that. But then around 2007, 2009, I think 2009 was the first time I noticed it, we got a wiki and we got an RFC process. Seems to me that PHP has gone from a scratch-your-own-itch development model to a very organized and, or at least looking from the outside, very organized and very purposeful development model. Now, is this true or am I off base? If I'm off base, correct me.
I think you put it pretty clearly there, although I think lost its shit might be a slightly overstated.
Of course it is, yeah.
You might have seen some reaction in my face.
I'm looking for that for tweets, that. You know? That's the quote.
The big incendiary comments, yeah. You're such a shitster, as long as we've lost our PG rating. I would say that PHP went through some growing pains, yeah. for sure. PHP, as you said, started as a very, very scratch-your-own-itch kind of thing from its very beginnings, Rasmus making a hit counter for his resume, all through those earliest years, and it was very cowboy. It was like, you know, hey, I want this thing. I'm just going to write something up and SVN push or CVS push or whatever it happens to be, and great. You know,
we got the mail function because Wes needed to send mail. You know, so
sounds
he's like,
very likely, yeah.
I'm doing this. If you want it, here it is, you know?
Which is actually kind of funny because the male function today, I don't think would ever make it into core because it doesn't do anything that can't be done in user space. Literally all it is put together a RFC 825 or whatever the number is, you know, formatted message and pipe that into the mail program. Like it is literally just that. And today it would be like, do that stuff in Composer and put that on Packagist and there's your malfunction.
Yeah.
But again, it was a different time. Composer was a different thing. It was,
oh yeah.
It was a very different world. So yeah, as you say, it was scratch your own itch. It was cowboy times. And PHP's usage was still sort of growing. You were, more and more people were using this awesome language that now runs a fair portion of the internet and is going to knock on metal for some time. Mm-hmm. And we did see some trouble in those growing pains eras, particularly as you said, like during the PHP 6 development period, there were a handful of people that were really seriously working on PHP 6 and it was a good idea on the face of it. Like we're going to bake Unicode into the language, but I think looking back with the hindsight of 2020, we also realized that it was a terrible idea because it introduces this overhead for apps that don't necessarily need it. And honestly, like you can do well enough in user space by just making all your strings UTF-8 and everything works fine. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, forgetting that non-English speakers exist and we don't care about emoji. By the way, it's hilarious that emoji is what's making people care about Unicode, not languages with accented characters. Can you see my gray hairs on that one? So people are still interested in making PHP better, but now we're starting to get this sort of building pressure, also from learning experiences like seeing how XML developed into the language. XML looked like a really good idea as something you want to bake into the language. We're going to make this libXML extension, then we're going to have DOM or SymbolXML, XML reader, XML writer, because XML is the thing, and it's going to create all this wonderful data inter exchange between stuff. And well, actually, in reality, JSON seems to be doing a lot better job at a lot of the things that we thought XML was going to be used for. So was it a great idea, or was it a lot of bloat added to the PHP core that we don't really need and could maybe sit in an extension somewhere? I think we're going to wrestle with that question for a long time. I am not suggesting we get rid of XML, just so we're clear. But just sort of as examples as sort of like ideas that are not malicious. They sound like great ideas, but if we had stopped and we had actually talked these things through for a while, we might have made some different decisions than a single or two or three people made sort of in a bubble. So the need for some kind of a process and what turned into the RFC process was pretty apparent to everyone, even people who disagree on a lot of the features. I think if you look at the vote counts, you're gonna see that there is a more conservative side to adding features to PHP and there's a much more liberal side to adding features to PHP, and certain people tend to vote a certain way. But we can all agree that we actually do need a process so that we don't make stupid mistakes. I'll own up to what turned into streams filtering as having been a terrible design. It was basically Wes and I in a room. Are you running out of power?
No,
I'm fine. I was just checking a little bit. Okay. It was Wes and I, you know, basically sitting in a virtual room saying, hey, how should we do filter? Well, this sounds like a good start. Let's do that. Oh, you think we should go that way? Eh, okay, that's fine. But it's just two people. I think if we had a larger room full of people, we might have realized, you know, actually, that works for the use case we're thinking of, but it's completely impractical for not every possible other use case that PHP would give a darn about. So Elizabeth Smith and I have been talking about we need to sort of like take a big, strong stab at streams and improve them in some way. But we also agree that we need to get a lot more voices in the room.
Yeah.
That was actually a large part of my initial involvement with Fig, as I'm working on putting together a Fig working group that maybe we can be talking to the framework authors and figure out ways to make that a more collaborative process to provide APIs that make sense to people who are actually writing PHP rather than APIs that make sense to a bunch of C developers who are developing PHP.
Yep.
So.
Well, it just seems to me that since we've got the RFC process, it has gotten much more purposeful about the language. And maybe that we still had that before the RFC, but it was all hidden in the internals mailing list. And, you know, there was a time when it's like, oh my God, no, you don't want to see the sausage being made. Don't follow internals. And now we have these RFCs and people do, they talk about these things. And I love the fact that to suggest something, you've not only got to suggest it, you've got to suggest the patch.
You've got to think it through.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to think through those edge cases. You can't just say, hey, you know what? I want pipe operator functions and just have that be it. No, you've actually got to say, well, here's how these edge cases work out. Here's potential BC breaks. Here's an actual implementation and how it would functionally work. Part of the reason I kind of stopped working on pipe operator was because I realized that there was a complication to the implementation that may not quite work exactly the way I wanted it to. We've got one approved RFC 472 for the null coalesce equal operator. Mm-hmm. Question mark equal. It's been approved to be added, but we have no functional implementation to actually do it right yet. So it may not actually hit 7.2 just because like, oh, actually writing this stuff's actually pretty hard in order to conform to what we've laid out in the spec. Yep. If it weren't about conforming to a spec, we might just say, well, here's something that hits the 80% case and we'll worry about the 20% later on. Because it works fine for simple variables. It's compound variables that it has problems with, but that's technical stuff.
Hey, before we move on to the next topic, let me swap that so that that'll make it where people can hear a little better. But let me talk a little bit about our sponsor, SiteGround. You know, every website's gotta have a host. I don't care if it's even in, you think your website's in the cloud, okay? The cloud is just somebody else's computer. So, the cloud. But if your website needs a host or your web store or a web application, take a look at SiteGround. You can get information on them at siteground.com. They're a rock solid platform, technically. They're good and solid. They're good people to deal with when it comes to support. I've never had a problem with dealing with them. Support always get answers very quickly. But the thing that I like about them is I like working with people that I like. And every time I run into SiteGround at a PHP conference or a WordCamp or something like that, I always like to just hang out at the booth with them because they're such nice people. And I like dealing with people that I like. So if you're looking for a new host for your website, take a look at SiteGround. You can get more information on them at siteground.com. And of course, make sure you tell them that Cal sent you. And you're right, that video thing with the delay is driving me up the wall.
my occasional little things are probably making it worse.
There's like a 2-second delay on, or a 1-second delay on the screen. And so I see myself doing this. It's just really weird. Anyhow, we got to talking earlier. We talked about the fact that you're a release manager and you have a process. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about that, because you have a Docker container and mm-hmm. everything that you use to build all this stuff up.
I do. And before I talk too much about it, I just want to give credit where credit is due, because this was actually Davey's original design, Davey Schaefik.
Yeah.
He's got a Docker container that he uses. His design requires interactivity, so he's got to load his keys into there. He's got to let his SSH and his GPG keys into there, put in his passwords at various times. I am super lazy, so I took his design and I made a non-interactive version of it. So I can start this thing up and just let it go for hours. It builds debug ZTS, debug NTS, non-debug ZTS, non-debug NTS,
wow.
And runs the full test suite of all of those, all the tests that are in PHP on all four variations. This, of course, takes a very long time on a 2-core laptop. So I made an entirely non-interactive version. I just put all my configs in up front, say go, and then when it's done, I go into my workspace outside of the Docker container and I just say, okay, run signage, and here's my password, and then push it to the upstream, here's my SSH key. And I'm sorry, I did that right in front of the camera. If anyone wants to check it out, we can put it in the show notes, but it's github.com/php-release.
Okay.
I run this on a Tuesday, and I come back to it an hour or two later, and all the tarballs are there. They're all hashed. They're all GPG signed. All I have to do is just make sure everything looks right, maybe run one or two extra little tests just to make sure that the tarball contains what I think it contains, that sort of thing, and then just push, and then I'm done. After that, I've got a few more steps that I do on Thursday to actually upload these tarballs to the various download spots and make release announcements and things like that. But I'm a lazy person. I don't want to do a lot of actual work.
Yeah.
It's all about the fame and glory for me. So
that's why we all use PHP, is for the fame and glory.
It really is.
It's certainly not for the money. No, that's not true. Anyhow, so, I've got a little, and I'll throw a link in the show notes. I've got a little Docker container that I use to test things. And I've just updated that to 7.2. Yes, and you corrected me on several things. Now, I must say this. I've been doing Bash probably longer than you've been programming, because I started with an Altos Xenix back in 95, or 85, I think it was. Yeah, that was.
I'll correct you, but go on.
That was Microsoft's version of Unix, their license of Unix, and that's when I actually started. Actually, that I'm not even sure that was Bash. I think that was just shell at that point. Mm-hmm. But but you're right. Mine had some big problems. Not big problems. I should have used the double ampersand. I didn't know the dash E. Tell me what that does.
So in Bash, set space dash E is something I throw at the top of every single script I ever write in Bash. And that just says that if any given command fails, the entire script fails.
Oh, okay.
So in your case, you had git checkout PHP 7.2, and that was failing because the branch doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
But it just kept going on its merry way, and you didn't see the error message output. If you had the dash E on there, then that command failure says, oh,
stop.
We panic, and we just stop. This is like... Once I found that setting, I just have never looked back from it. Sometimes it's okay, failure is an option, and you can explicitly do something like git checkout PHP 7.2 double pipe, meaning or, echo, ha, we don't have that branch yet. So you can continue from fail processes, but for the most part, you usually want your processes to succeed, and so that's the set dash.
I'm going to use that because I have a lot of Bash scripts that I do, you know, little stupid things, and I'm going to put that in there. But I did not know that. I knew the double ampersand at the end of them. Right. In this case, it did not matter because
no, that part wasn't actually broken. That part was running fine. But I happened to see that as I was going through, and I'm like, nah, that's bad practice. That's got codes.
It should. Yeah. Now, with that, one of the other problems in my script was I was using two flags in configure that did not exist. One of them was mcrypt, which obviously I knew that was out. The other one was had to do with GD and true types, and I'm not sure why that one is failing, because it's still a valid...
Yeah, that should still be a valid option.
It could be. See, I'm using Alpine Linux for this, and I know that's a bit odd, so it could be that there's a problem with that.
Somebody mention that. I didn't remember. I didn't actually look into the details of that.
Well, my question is, would this dash E, would it stop things if configure throws an error like that?
Yeah, so configure will give you a non-zero exit code, and so if you had... dash E, like that's what it looks at. It looks at the exit code.
Okay.
So anything that throws a non-zero exit code. So one of the things I specifically do in my release container is when I do run tests, I actually set abort on failure equals zero so that runtest.php won't give a non-zero exit code on failure, because I actually want it to run all four variants. Uh-huh. And then I've got the log files I can look at later on, and I can look at these log files and say, okay, this failure is actually just a quirk of my container setup, or this failure is an expected failure for whatever reason. There are actually two failures that are showing up right now, and they both have to do with my system. They're not to do with anything wrong with the code itself. So I need to put some better skip-ifs in there, basically, is what it comes down to.
Very cool. It's not a big secret, but it's not very well announced yet, but we have a UG admins list, a mailing list.
Okay.
And we are trying to organize a test fest in September to build more unit tests for PHP. So I might be calling on you, because one of the things we have to do is we need to give everybody a either a Vagrant script or a Docker container or something that is a sane operating, so everybody's got the same thing and they can write their test against that. These days, we have the tools to do that. Mm-hmm. Used to be we had to go to everybody's machine and set it up.
Yeah, now Docker is great for exactly this purpose.
Much easier. Mm-hmm. So I might be pinging you to help us get that set up. But we are organizing this worldwide amongst the user groups. I know Karate down in Marussia, he's already committed to it. Of course, Michelangelo Van Damme has committed the entire European community. You know, and when he speaks...
Van Damme, the user group man.
Absolutely, yeah. Michelangelo Van Damme, the man with the coolest damn name on the internet. But
I'm trying to find up with a clever, like, Muscles from Brussels, like, joke. Like, Well, something also, from Brussels.
He's also one of our Ninja Turtles, our PHP Ninja yes. Turtles, him and Raphael.
Yeah.
So, but we're organizing that to try to get you. You said you run the whole unit test suite. Well, we want to make that run even longer for you. So
I would love for it to be longer.
We're going to build as many as we can in the month of September.
I used to like to talk about how every change that went into HHVM ran 500,000 tests.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was basically PHP's 15,000 or so tests. Times across a whole bunch of different variants, plus all of Facebook's internal web tests, times across a bunch of variants. So, like, it's cheating to get to 500,000. But, there are tests that are kind of silly. They test things like, does 1 + 1 always equal 2? But does it?
Yeah, you got to make sure.
You got to make sure, because if it doesn't, like, oh, well. Nikita Popov was at South Coast PHP right now, and he just literally put on a slide where he showed that 1 + 1 can equal 3 under the right circumstances. It's a calculus joke for very large values of 1, but like he actually showed it in PHP, you can make it work. So.
Wow, that's amazing. Anyhow, Sarah, same 2 questions I ask everybody. What's your local user group? What's the URL?
Well, local user group is an awkward question because I've been in this process of a multi-month move. I was going to move to Paris, actually. That did not work out for various kind of dumb reasons, but they are what they are. So I sort of gone for plan B, and I'm going to move to New York right now, which is the city that we're in. Check it out. So I am looking for my local user group.
They have a very nice MySQL user group here. I know that. And of course, Cousineau runs the Empire JS, or he's associated with it. You know, I don't know. Cousineau is probably a reason you might not want to move here. But still.
Hush. The very first time I came to New York, Cousineau took me out for rum, and good rum.
Yeah.
Good rum.
Oh no, he's a sweetheart. I love him.
Somewhere out there, there's a picture of me giving him a big old kiss on the cheek.
Nice. I've got one of me and him hugging.
He likes to reference that. Yeah.
Yeah. Every now and then he shoots that out, you know, because we were both overserved at the PHP drink up that night. So
you do not have to explain what I blame.
I blame the waitress. Anyhow, Sarah, like I said, you've been doing this 15 years. You've been doing core longer than I've been involved in the community. So on behalf of everybody that uses PHP for anything, thank you so much for everything you've given us.
You're certainly welcome, and I want to thank the PHP community as a whole, because this has been awesome. Like, this is just this huge community that I know I can go anywhere in the world and find somebody that I have shared an IRC conversation with or a tweet with, and like, this is, dude, PHP's been awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I can say about it.
Very cool. Well, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.